Well, let's say this. We say this: I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall what? Continually be in my mouth. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I wanted to touch on a few thoughts today. You know, Isaiah 55, it talks about God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. And it says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways, this is God's ways, are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So God's word, the New Living says, it will produce fruit. So God's word will produce fruit. And if you back up a few chapters in Isaiah 53, verse 1, it says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So one thing I wanted to just touch on today is, thank God his word will produce fruit if we do what? If we believe it and act upon it, his word will produce in our lives. And let's look at Luke 18, verse 27. And want to kind of jump off here today. Luke 18, verse 27, and he said, this is the King James, the things which are impossible with men are what? Possible with God. The New Living Translation says, what is impossible for people is possible with God. So in today's setting that we're in, there are a lot of things that look impossible. You know, sometimes there are just circumstances that happen. You know, I like 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it is, in verse 17 and 18. It says it says, fix your attention on things that are eternal. It says, don't fix your sights on things that are, let me read it so I don't get it quoted wrong. This is the New Living. It says, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. For we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So things we're walking through, things that are happening in life, are what? Temporary. Now, sometimes we may not think so because it's like, when is this going to be over? But in God's word, God's perspective, his vantage point, what did it say? My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. So the things that we walk through in life are temporary. But the things it says here, fix your attention, fix your gaze on things that can't be seen. And what things can't be seen? Well, you can see there are things that we desire, we hope for, we can't see them. Fix your gaze on that. Fix your gaze on the promises of God. And it says those things will last forever. Things we see in this natural realm don't last forever. They change. They're subject to change. So the things, eternal things, last forever. Let's look at John 10:10. Gospel of John, verse 10. chapter 10 and verse 10. And one of the things, you know, I've been thinking about all of these issues that we face. I was thinking about this a few weeks ago. Well, we'll read this verse. It's John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to what? To steal and to kill and to do what? And to destroy. What's he do? He steals, he kills, and he does what? He destroys. All right? But what does it go on to say? I am come, because this is Jesus speaking. I am come that they might have life and life more abundantly. Let me read this from this verse 10 in the Amplified. I'll read. If you have it, you can follow along. But it says, the thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. The Passion Translation says, the thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I've come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. So this, you know, the thought I was thinking about over the past couple of weeks is it's important, all of these things that we face in life, it's important to determine what the source of the problem is, right? So is it stealing, killing, and destroying, or is it abundant life? Is it prosperity? If we can determine where the source is, where it's coming from, it's either the devil or it's God, right? So if we can determine that, then we'll know how to do what? We'll know how to deal with it, how to handle it, right? Because if we know it's the devil, he's been defeated. Right? He's already been defeated. A lot of times people now are like, well, is God bringing judgment on us? Is God doing this to us? Well, they don't know how to fight it because they're thinking, why would you fight God? If God's bringing all of this problem on us, why are we fighting it? Let's just, you know, just kind of lay down, deal with it, right? Maybe I did something. But here's the point. If the devil's behind this, he's defeated. We've been seated in heavenly places in Christ with him. We've been given authority and dominion over him. And so this ought to tell us something here. We need to determine where the source of the problem is. You know, whenever you call out somebody, you know, you got a problem in your home, you say, I need to call somebody to figure this out. Could be a plumber, could be an electrician. You're going to call somebody to figure out where the problem is. But we have the Word of God right here in this one verse that can tell us where the source of problems come from. If it's stealing, if it's killing, and it's destroying, it didn't come from God. Because Jesus said, what? I came that they may enjoy life. Well, anybody enjoying some of the stuff we're going through? No. So if it's not enjoyable, it didn't come from God. And we know how to deal with that. We can say, no, you're not touching this body. You're not touching my finances. You're not touching my family in the name of Jesus. You know, we said singing, something happens, something wonderful in that name. There's miracles, there's healing, there's prosperity, there's overcoming in the name, right? Well, then we need to determine. Jesus gave us this one verse, tells us where the problem is. If it's stealing, if it's destroying, if it's wrecking stuff, it didn't come from God. Now, you know, somebody may say, well, you know, you may have opened the door by maybe your disobedience. Maybe, could be. But guess what? You can close the door. All you got to do is say, God, I forgive me. I messed up. And what happens? The door closes to the devil. Right? So we have, this is a wonderful verse here. And something I was reading this morning, it excited me. I, you know, as many times as you read a particular scripture, it just, I don't know, it was illumined to my heart here. Let me just, it's in Matthew 14, so you can turn over there. In Matthew 14, and actually the story here is the disciples were in the ship. Jesus had been praying, and you can we'll read this because it's good to see this here. Matthew 14, verse 22, 23, and through here. It says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him, right? He's giving him some directions here, right? He's saying, go ahead before me onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were what? Troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But what happens here? It said, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. You know, when I saw this, I said, isn't it interesting? When they were fearful, Jesus immediately spoke to them and said, it's me, don't worry about it, don't be afraid, right? So here again, he's showing them where the problem is. See, that's why I say when the scripture says, we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Also, remember what it said in John. It says, my disciples, my sheep, know my voice. So when there's issues and problems going on in life, your life, Lord, is this from you? No. What did he say? When these waves came up, they were fearful. It said immediately he spoke unto them. He said, don't be afraid. And then what did he go? And then Peter answered and said unto the Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. See, now that should have been enough right there because he said, don't be afraid. So Peter goes on and says, Lord, if that's you, command me to come on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, right? See, this is what I'm talking about here. When he got into trouble, what happened? Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and he caught him and he said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. So what happened? When the problem came, when he started to sink, immediately Jesus was there to do what? Help him, not steal, kill, and to destroy. I'm telling you, John 10:10. So you can see this here. When they were afraid, he said, it's me, don't worry. He was trying to help them, not steal, not kill, and to destroy. So we need to, when we're walking through life with all the issues that we may face, determine where this is coming from. What's the source of the problem? And if we know what the source of the problem is, then we can do what? Exercise our faith. We can exercise our faith in God. We can exercise our faith in the name of Jesus. We can begin to exercise our faith and say, no, 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 Satan, you back up. I'm commanding you to in the name of Jesus. Right? God will speak to us by his Spirit, and he will lead us into truth. He will reveal what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to walk through. You know, maybe your situation is different than yours and yours and yours. But he will speak to us and show us exactly what to do. Isn't that exciting? I think that's exciting to me. Because the scripture in Romans 8 says, those that are the sons of God are what? Led by the Spirit of God. So we know him. He's our Father. He leads us. He leads us here. What does he say? I've come that they may only. I like the Amplified. It says, I came that they may have, and enjoy life. Well, if you're not enjoying life, then maybe we need to make some corrections. Confront what's going on. See? Anyways, I thought I'd share that. So we need to determine where the issue is and then address it with our covenant promises. So we walk by faith, this is 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith and not by sight. That word walk in the Greek, that word peripateo, that particular Greek word means how you conduct your life. It means to regulate one's life, to conduct one's life. That means your lifestyle. How do you conduct your life? You're to walk by faith, not by sight. Just like, you know, people say, well, you know, I exercise. That's how you regulate your life, or however you do. You regulate your life a certain way in the natural, but in the spiritual side, this says here, we're to walk or conduct ourselves by faith and not by sight. You know, yes, we look at things, we see things, we observe things, we may have to make some corrections and do some things, but that's not how we regulate our life. You understand the point? We regulate our life by faith, not by sight. It doesn't mean I ignore the visuals. I mean, if there's a truck coming down the road, you get out of the middle of the road. You don't say, well, I'm just going to be by faith. You're going to be a splat. So you observe natural things. You may have to make some adjustments or corrections where natural things, but that's not how you regulate your life. That's not how you conduct your life. You're not moved by every wind. That's what it says. You operate, you regulate your life by faith. That's what it means when it says walk by faith and not by sight. It just means, how do I regulate my life? I may be confronted with some issues. You know, when we say regulate your life or coordinate or conduct your life by faith, it's no different than Mark 11:23 and 22 and 23, it says, have faith in God, right? And then it says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So that just means when you got a mountain in front of you, you're supposed to do what? Speak to it. You're to regulate your life. Have faith in God. So it doesn't mean that I'm operating in faith, I'm going to have no problems and not deal with issues. No, we're going to deal with issues. But it just means, how do I regulate my life? By faith. That's how I'm doing it. And God, by his Spirit, will lead us and guide us on how and what to speak, what to do. He may say, go over here, do this, go over here and make this adjustment in your life. And he will lead us to do what? Enjoy life and not be stuck in the middle of the problem. Maybe we may have to walk through the problem. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm not going to fear, but I'm walking through. How am I walking through? By faith, and I'm being led by him. I have faith in God. I have faith in him to see me through this so that I can do what? Enjoy life. Doesn't mean it's without issues and problems. We're going to have to go through it, but we, what does it say? Whosoever is born of God, 1 John 5:4, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, what? Even our faith. So it's faith in God. Hallelujah. Faith in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. So let's look at another scripture here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. And I'll read it in the King James, then I want to read it quickly in the New Living. But 1 Thessalonians 3:1, it says, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you, to do, what did he say? To comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, or you could say pressure. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Verse 4 and 5, for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter, he's talking about the devil here, hath tempted you and our labor be in vain. Let me read this in the New Living. It says, verse starting in verse 1, finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens. And we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. See, that's why it's important you have people come. They do what? They come to encourage you in the faith. And so he goes, but you know that you were destined for such troubles. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come, and they did, as you well know. That is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. So when this says here, it sounds like God is giving us some of these afflictions, but that's not what he's saying here. When we talk about these afflictions or pressures, the question is, does the child of God go through troubles and afflictions? The answer is yes. We go through troubles and trials. You've got a devil that's in the earth, and there are going to be tribulations and troubles that we go through, but Jesus didn't take these things and suffer for us and our place, and then turn around and put them on us. No, So these things, things that were paid for, we were not meant to carry and suffer, which is what? Sickness and disease. And it also said lack. Jesus said what? He said, I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Enjoy life. So he suffered so that we don't have to suffer these things. That was the purpose of redemption. Man fell, and these curses came upon the earth, came upon man. But Jesus came to do what? Redeem man by his blood. So there's some things that we don't have to tolerate. Doesn't mean that it may not try you, but we don't have to tolerate that. We can come against that. So the scripture that's we're familiar with, Psalm 34 and verse 19, says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Who does? The Lord does. So the Lord delivers. He says, yeah, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he delivers us. If you walk by faith and not by sight, you've got to have faith in him. And it's a what? It's a process. It's a process. John 16, 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, or shalom. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of what? Good cheer. I have overcome the world. How did he overcome the world? Faith. So this says here, he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You're going to have some stuff happen in your life. You're going to be faced with things. But be of good cheer. Have faith in me. Have faith in God. Don't lose heart. You know, this word, tribulation, in the Greek, when it says, you shall have tribulation. When you read up on this particular Greek word, it says, it describes a situation so difficult that it causes one to feel stressed, squeezed, pressured, or crushed. And I'm sure every one of us have possibly felt these kinds of things. We felt stressed, squeezed, pressured, and what? Crushed. And it says it can be translated, that's what this word's saying, this word tribulation can be translated distress, affliction, or trouble. It indicates a level of intensity that is almost unbearable in the natural. You know, some of us may not have reached that, but all of us have reached some place of feeling stressed. You just say, I can't take this anymore. I've had enough. And what is that doing? And because I'm going to get over here in a moment, that it's causing your patience and your faith to wane. You know what I mean? To back off a little bit because of this tribulation, this pressure, this stress in your life. So one of the things I want to just kind of land on here for a few minutes. James chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3 and 4. And we're familiar with this scripture. I'll wait till you get there because we're going to take a few minutes to look at this. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, my brethren, get up a good cry. No, it says, count it all joy when you fall into divers or different, you know, various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, see, so when these tribulations and trials, Jesus said, you shall have tribulations. So it's going to try your what? Your faith. That's what it's meant to do. We saw, and it's meant to steal, kill, and destroy. It's meant to not only steal your stuff, your health, your family, your things, it's also meant to steal your faith. But we're to walk by faith. We're to conduct our life and by faith. So this says here, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works something. It's working patience. It worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Boy, that almost sounds like what Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it and enjoy life. Well, how are you going to get to the place of enjoying life? You're going to have your faith tested. And it's going to be exercised. And it says it's going to work something. Work what? Patience. So here's the key here. If I let go of my patience, you know, in other words, let me read this in the New Living Translation. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind, come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. That means we just need to start laughing. Ha, ha, ha. I've overcome. I'm going over this. I'm just going to laugh at this. Doesn't feel like laughing, but I'm going to laugh. Verse 3 in the New Living, it says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and in complete, needing nothing. So that means that when we're being pressured, when we're being stressed, it's going to do what? Test your faith. Count it all joy, because faith is working. What's it doing? It's working something. Not your last nerve. It's working your endurance, your patience. And it says, but let it grow. Because if you don't let it grow, it says here, you won't be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So what does that say? If we let go of our endurance, then we won't see the conclusion of our faith. We're letting go of something. We've got to stick with it. We've got to keep confessing the word. We've got to keep speaking. What does it say in Hebrews 11:1? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So my faith is giving substance to something I desire, but it's also working something. It's working my patience and endurance. So if I let go of my endurance, most likely you let go of your desire and the things you expect. Because you just give up. You give up. You say, it ain't worth it. Isn't that true? And so you're not getting this perfect, complete, needing nothing place. That's why it's important. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Faith in something is a process. You know, if you get something damaged on your body, you got to work it. I was looking at the Rhema camp meeting, and one of the speakers, you know, he's teaches there, David Sheeran. He's a pastor in Las Vegas. They're standing against some things. They brought something that was just ruled on by the Supreme Court. And they didn't flow with it. They had a few churches brought a lawsuit against Las Vegas because they're letting the casinos open, right? They're letting them go in at 50% capacity in the casinos, but they won't let churches have more than 50 people. All Las Vegas. So a number of churches brought a lawsuit against Las Vegas because of that. And so David Sheeran's there, so he's got a big church. He's got over 2,000 people. How are you going to have that? So he can only have 50 people in his church. So he said, the best I can do is he's streaming. He's still streaming. But this is what he said. He was sharing something. He said earlier this year, he said, my wife always wanted a horse. So we got a horse. She wanted me to have a horse. I got a horse. And so we were out horseback riding, and something happened and the horse threw him and he broke his arm. And he said he had to get pins and all of this business. And he said, I'm just now starting to get it back. But he said, it's a process. It's a process. He said, I got to have my hand. I got to teach my hand through therapy to get it moving, get all these muscles and things back. It's a process. And so is faith. Faith in what you're believing for, it's a process. Don't give up. What is it doing? Your faith is working something. It's working your endurance, your patience. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Here's something I wanted to kind of just share as we close here. I hope this is helping you a little bit. This word patience, when we read it in the King James, it says faith worketh patience, or faith worketh endurance. Said one scholar, these are Bible scholars, one scholar calls it staying power. S-T-A-Y-I-N-G, staying power. Another contemporary translator calls it hang in there power. I like that. Hang in there power. That's faith. Patience is I'm hanging in there power. So this attitude of hanging in there, this attitude of staying power is an attitude that what? Never gives up. It holds out. It holds on, it outlasts, and it perseveres. That's what patience is. That's endurance. I'm going to persevere. So it doesn't just give up or give in to obstacles and problems. You don't give in. The word patience or endurance, this word is a compound word in the Greek. It's H-O-P-O, that's the preface of it. And then the other part of it is M-E-N-O, so it's H-O-H-O-P-O-M-E-N-O. It conveys the idea of being steadfast, consistent, unwavering, and unflinching. I ain't budging. You know, some of us, we got that with our spouses. I ain't budging. But we need not be that way with people and our spouses that I'm not wavering on this. No. That means when it comes to who's the source of the problem, if it's the devil, I'm not budging. I'm not budging one inch. That's what this says. It is the attitude that declares, I don't care how heavy the load gets or how much pressure I'm under, I'm not budging one inch. I'm not budging. This is my spot. And I'm telling you right now that there isn't enough pressure in the whole world to make me move or give it up. I'm not giving up what Jesus' blood paid for. I'm not budging. I'm not giving up. Faith is working something. It's working that. It's working that patience, that I'm not budging. That's what it's working. So that you are complete, entire, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. But it's going to take you sticking and holding steady, that I'm not budging. I like something Pastor Hagen says. He says, he uses his term, he's been saying it for years. I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. That's sticking to it. I will not be defeated. If you can remember nothing else, I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. I'm not budging. Brother Hagen said this when he was alive. He was speaking to a group of ministers, and he said this. He said, you know why I'm so steady? This is after he'd been in ministry 60-plus years. He said, you know why I'm so steady? He said, because I had to suffer some things. And he said, I'm steady now because I've come through them. What was he saying? My faith worked patience, my endurance, and I got through it, and I'm wanting nothing. I'm steady. There isn't anything that's going to rattle me. And that's the way we need to be. There's going to be things that go on in this earth. We need to know who we are in Christ, who we have faith in God. And when problems come, where did it come from? If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, then I'm coming against it. And I'm going to stand and walk in faith, and I'm going to speak to it, and I'm going to command it and take my ground. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to take my ground, and I'm not budging. I'm not budging. And I'm not giving up, backing up. But I'm going to stand up and speak up. Right? You know, it's like in this country. I don't mean to get off on politics, but you know, if you let bad people do bad stuff, they'll just take and run over a country. And that's what you see going on now. You see people trying to do stupid stuff, just destroying stuff. Now, there's a place for people, peaceful protest. I'm okay with that. But when you take people that do bad stuff, they'll just ruin a country. Until good people stand up and say, no, 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 back up. See? And it's no different. The devil will just run roughshod in your life if you let him. But you need to have faith in God and do what? Stand up and speak up against the tribulations, the pressure, the stuff, the adversity. You say, I'm not budging. You move and leave in the name of Jesus. You take your hands off my family. You take your hands off my finances. You take your hands off my body in Jesus' name. And it's a process. You just stand, I'm not budging. My body is healed. My body functions normally. Every tissue, every organ functions normally. And you keep and stand until it changes. Don't go, you're weak-minded. You know, I hear somebody, you're wimpy. Faith is not wimpy. Faith don't give up. Faith perseveres. Because I have faith in God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I think you got the message. Hallelujah. Count it all joy. I can count it all joy because I'm going through. It's working my endurance. It's working something in me. It's not the time to give up. Count it all joy. My faith is working my endurance so that I am complete, entire, wanting nothing. I'm an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that we are growing in our endurance. And we're growing strong in faith in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God.